This has been a long time coming. We've been talking about a podcast.
Every day, every afternoon, every morning, there's a new story being told or a story untold.
Welcome to the Scratch Your Niche podcast.
Well, Stephanie, it's so amazing to have you here, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend time and be on the podcast and everything. I would love to start by just asking you, what did you want to be when you grew up?
You know, that's an interesting question, and I get it a lot, and everyone expects to be like some big personality, which I guess the job that I wanted really badly has portions of that, but I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to serve, yeah. I was always into civil service. And
really?
Yeah, from the time where you could understand what my childhood drawings were, I was a cop.
And you were drawing yourself as a cop.
I was.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I was a police officer, and that stayed with me and honestly still sticks with me some days.
Some days you wish you're like,
some days I think about it.
Career.
I do. I think about going back and like applying for the force.
Oh,
and,
wild.
Now that I have a family, probably a little less applicable.
Well, you know what? And maybe after you build Madcap, you know, to something to where you work yourself out of a job, you can go pursue that.
There
passion.
We go. Yeah, maybe. Wanted to be a cop and went to school to be, I have a Crim J degree.
Dead serious.
Absolutely.
How in the world did you end up in the marketing world?
So this is a fun story. So I was a very strong-headed, those of you that know me can't believe that whatsoever, decided to move out of the parents' home at a very young age. I graduated at the age of 17, and when I got that diploma, I pretty much said, I'm out.
Outro.
Yeah, outro, and did that. And, of course, with that comes adulthood and working. And I fell into a really good job at Milgard Windows, which a lot of us South Sounders know.
Yeah.
And I was just a data entry specialist. So I did data entry for Milgard during the day while I went to school to be a cop at night. And I was loving my life. And I got really lucky in having great mentors there. And I promoted myself through the company and ended up in a sales position.
And how many positions before that?
Yeah, so data entry to customer service representative to inside sales, because Milgard ran in a scenario where they had inside-outside sales teams.
Oh, wild.
Yep, so I was an inside sales rep, and my ambition, at least at that point with that company, was to go into outside sales, and I figured that will then give me the money to finish my Crim J and any other schooling I might want to do before I could make some any real money in civil service. And Milgard was such a great company that they were really into pouring money back into their employees on training and schooling.
Really now?
Absolutely. So when the Milgards owned that company, the opportunities were endless. And I was so young and sprite and wanted all the opportunities. So anything they threw my direction, I took. They paid for my way through Dale Carnegie.
Unreal.
Yep. So
he has like an institute, right?
It's the Dale Carnegie Institute out of Bellevue. They housed it at the Milgard facility. So they came down after work. They paid for the course if you wanted to take the course. And they have different arms of the course, you know, public speaking, sales management,
wild.
All these different courses. So I took them all because why wouldn't I?
Yeah. Right? Because you're smart. They're investing in you
And I was trying to figure out who I was or wanted to be. And so I took them all, and in the Dale Carnegie course, I met my very best friend to date, who is Emily Ryder.
Yes.
Yep.
And I remember meeting Emily.
She was just fresh out of Wazoo. She was working as a sales rep for the Business Examiner. And I was telling her about my career at Milgard and how I was aspiring to become an outside sales rep at Milgard, but you really had to kind of wait your turn, do your time, and I wasn't sure that it would happen anytime soon. And so we had concocted this big plan that I would go be an outside sales rep for the Business Examiner and get some clout under my wings as a sales rep and then go back to Milgard and go, no, like I have the connections, let's do it, right? So I did that. I left Milgard and went to the Business Examiner to get outside sales experience, fully intending of going back to Milgard for outside sales. And never went back. I was 15 years at the Business Examiner.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I went into outside sales at the Business Examiner, and what a cool job. Jeff and Jill Rounce that owned it gave me, again, countless opportunities for growth, which I couldn't be more thankful for. I got to work with my best friend every day, and I'm in my early 20s, so her and I are kicking up our heels.
Come on.
Networking. Grinding for the biz. Grinding for the biz. It was so much fun.
Wow, what a gift.
And her and I grew up together in the career life, and that, you know, until you don't see your best friend at work every day, you don't realize what a blessing that is. And so we grew up and got promoted, and, you know, so as I grew not only in skill and in age and in just wisdom, I was given the opportunities to now lead the sales crew as a sales manager and lead the events portion. And what does that look like? I got to conceive their events. Like, Emily and I conceptualized what those would be, which are now South Sound Business events because Josh bought Jeff.
Bought the company last year. Yeah.
And
wow.
So full circle for me, right? Because those were my conceptions. And so I fell in love with the work. I was already in love with the people that I got to work with, but I fell in love with that work, with the marketing, the advertising, the conceptualizing, and the full time it was, I'm going to get some experience and go back to Milgard and make some money so that I can become a police officer. And I never looked back.
Those 15 years, as you did that, you're going, I'm going to take it back. But year after year after year, it just got better and better and better. And
exactly. Wow. And by year three or four, I think I forgot that that was the plan.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Yeah. And so, but I had met my husband, my now husband, at Milgard.
Yeah.
And he still works for Milgard. And so we met there back in 99. And so there was a little reminder of, I was supposed to go back.
Yeah, but you had part of you there. That's
I still
cool.
have part of me there. That's I still awesome. Consider them a family. Absolutely.
So cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, I wanted to be a cop, and then I got sucked into the glitz of sales.
And then you got equipped, and you got opportunities like crazy.
And I fell in a vertical market that I thought, this, wow, this is me. This is what I love. Yeah.
And how was Madcap Marketing born out of that?
So Madcap Marketing, I always had kind of that entrepreneurial maybe-ness of me. To be honest with you, Brian, I never thought that I was smart enough, never thought I was brave enough to take the leap into ownership. I always knew I could do management. But I didn't think,
wow.
I didn't think I could be an owner.
What a powerful distinction. And you're not alone. Same here.
Yeah.
And so many other business owners and leaders have probably wrestled with those same insecurities and, you know, thoughts. I mean, of doubt, like, am I able to pull this off or not?
Yeah, and absolutely, right? Because if you have the passion and the love and the grit and just what harm is there? I live in the, and so Dale Carnegie taught me, live in the land of what's the worst case scenario.
Really?
That was one of their big lessons, is if you really play out what's the worst that could possibly happen, and then logically put the percentage of what that might actually, what's the percentage of that actually taking place? Dude.
Then it kind of gives you that little nudge that you need. I do something kind of similar to stuff that I like to ask, what's at stake if I do this thing?
Yeah.
And what's at stake if I don't?
Right.
And as I begin to kind of wrestle through, you know, man, okay, so if I did it, oh, this would be a positive outcome. This could potentially happen. Oh, this. And if I don't, somebody else could do it. And I miss out on, you know what I mean? And it just makes it really clear to go, hey, it's worth taking this risk. You know, our family, I've mentioned this on one of the other episodes, just that our family says, it's riskier to play it safe these days than it is to actually take a risk.
Absolutely.
And so, man, walk us through that risk-taking journey of creating Madcap. And
one life, right? So I always figured when Jeff and Jill Rounce were done, that Emily and I would take over. And I was going to be able to build this.
Almost like a waiting game.
It was a waiting game. And Emily and I were in that waiting game together. We had talked that through. We were on the same page, and that was our plan. That was our future. And we were going to be like this duo power couple, you know, of friends to go knock it out of the ballpark and take this great entity that the Rounces have built and move it forward. And it just didn't come to fruition for multiple reasons. Nothing really bad. It just didn't play out the way we thought it would play out.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I had gotten myself so far down that rabbit hole in my brain.
And you started to believe, like, man, I can
like,
do this.
This was going to be my baby. And I had a business plan. And I had worked through what that looked like. And I had done the hard decision making of the risk versus reward. And so I was sitting in front of who was a business examiner client, advertiser at the time, who had been with me for years as a client. And he had just let go of his marketing director. And he was looking to me for advice above and beyond what they were doing at the business examiner. And he was like, I know this isn't your thing, but I just need help. I don't understand the terminology. You know, I think I'm stuck in this contract. And so I was just, as a friend, helping him get through that time of transition in their company. And he looked at me at the end of the meeting, thanked me profusely, and said, why don't you just do this?
Wow.
And I went...
That was an aha moment for you.
Oh, huge.
Light bulb.
I was done. I was going to be an entrepreneur from that point forward. There was no going back.
Wow.
I already had the itch. I already had the desire. I had already done the work. Now I had the affirmation that this was real for me and that I could do it. And so I asked him the hard question. Now, I had been in sales at this point in my career for a good 18 years between Milgard and the Business Examiner. I'm good with asking people questions. I'm comfortable in my own skin. And so I turned and asked him, I said, if I did, would you come with me? Because I need a paycheck.
Right.
I have a family.
Yeah.
And he said, absolutely. I won't rehire this position. It's yours.
How awesome.
So safety net made that. I mean, I got to be real that, yeah, it's risk, but... He made that a little less risky.
Right.
And so that risk.
And that was your first client.
My first client. And he's still with me today.
How many years in the game now with Madcap Marketing?
Yeah. So Madcap actually founded a SRAM marketing back in 2010.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
And I quickly learned that tying your name to a business is not the best decision I've ever made.
Tell us why.
Yeah. So, you know, to be honest with you, people are like, oh, because then, you know, you can get slammed and blah. No, actually, I've been blessed in that. Like, I'm not worried about my name being dragged through the dirt. And I hate to say this, but it's the honest truth is when you hire SRAM Marketing and Stephanie SRAM owns that, then you expect to work with Stephanie SRAM.
Wow.
I can't be everywhere all the time. I would love to be everywhere all the time. I would love to be your point of contact and 80 other point of contacts. That's not real. I have a family.
What a big realization.
Yeah. And so I realized real quick, like, I got to be careful of what I promise. And if I'm promising me.
Even just by having that be the name of the company. Essentially, you're promising.
Yeah,
right.
No, so that long term, that was not gonna work out.
How many years did you operate that way as SRAM?
Oh, about 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah, about 4.5 years into it, I thought, no, this isn't gonna work out. And so, I also realized pretty quickly that if I wanted to continue to grow, I couldn't do it on my own.
Yeah.
This was beyond me because I don't have all the skill sets necessary to be successful in the world that I live in. I need people that are smarter than me in areas that I can't do
it in. I'm with you 100%. I feel the same way.
Yeah. So it's all about the people that I surround myself with. And I had from day one worked with my business partner, now business partner, Carrie Hildebrand. She was my first and only contractor out of the gate. She was my graphic designer from day one. I would not trust anybody else with it. So I trusted her. I knew her. I appreciated her hard work. We had the same visions. We had the same skills, you know, like we moved the same direction. And I came to her one day and said, what would this look like if we stopped doing you, doing me, and then bringing it all together and just did us? And we talked for a long time about that.
Is that right?
Yeah. It took a good year to flush out what that would look like.
I'm so glad you took time. Do you think that was was it wise, healthy? I mean,
yes.
Because a lot of people rush into business with their best friends. I'm the same. I'm guilty of that multiple times now. And you'd think you'd learn the same lesson, but
well, and I mean, I talk to a lot of people in our industry that I trust that has been doing this longer than I have been that said, no, don't take on a partner. Don't do it. It never ends well. It always ends up in a big divorce. And I didn't have a lot of people telling me good stories
right.
on that scenario. And I just had it in my gut that that was the right thing to do. And so...
Well, have you all made it work?
Nothing changed. Our name changed. But our working relationship as...
You just had clearly defined lanes for each of you to do your work in.
I mean, we were already doing it. We just didn't do it on paper, right?
Got you. Because you'd worked together for years, like you said.
Yeah, years. I mean, years and years. Like 5 years running, right? So we already had defined roles. We already knew what each other was going to either get irritated about or happy around. We already knew all that. This was not a new engagement. We had a long engagement before we signed those marital papers.
So I see. Yeah. So wise.
Yeah.
So wise.
So, and we
had a great rhythm. You guys knew each other's moves. And did you feel like partnering, was it a strategic move? Was it because there was something missing? Was it to multiply your influence? What were some of the reasons that maybe?
Yeah. So it was definitely a strategic move. It was to multiply our influence. It was to get better at what we've got. I think when you build a strong team, you multiply your skill sets tremendously. I call it the trifecta effect. So if somebody wants a takeaway from me, I have this thing that I call it the trifecta effect.
Oh, I love the sound of that. Let's get into that.
The madcap marketing company wins and the end client wins and the vendor, because there's always vendors involved on some level with what we do, wins, then I'm in my happy place. If that trifecta comes out and everybody feels like they won from whatever relationship we've built or whatever product we've come up with or strategy we've come up with, if all three of us win and walk away going, that was a successful meeting, that was a successful media buy, that was a successful event, whatever it might be, then I'm winning. Everybody's winning, and that is my happy place.
I feel you. It can't be a win-win-lose, can't be a win-lose-lose. It has to be win-win-win all the way around.
And I actually think most business owners that don't either love what they do down the road, they get into it and they end up hating it, or they end up failing for whatever reason, I think because they're always watching after their own backs. They're always, and don't get me wrong, you got to watch after your own back and take care of your house.
Absolutely.
But if you can get away from some of the scary of like what ifs and really watch after each other, whether that's your employees, in this case, it was my business partner, your customers, the end user of the product. If you've got everyone's interest at the best of heart, you're not perfect. It's not always going to play out that way.
Right, right.
But man, if you go in it with those intents, why wouldn't it work? Why couldn't it
work? That's so powerful. Yeah. It's others first mentality, right?
Absolutely.
And as you're helping others succeed, we all succeed in that process.
And in my definition of marketing, me being a marketing specialist or, you know, niche in marketing, my job is to make others succeed. My whole career is built to watch other businesses grow.
I love that. Would you say that's your niche
in
the marketing
realm?
That's my
niche. Absolutely. Is making other businesses grow and helping them strategize on. I have a sales background, so for them to hire me in marketing and not talk sales strategy with me is a loss for them. So I come at it from a sales background. Now I've built a team of 10 at Madcap that have marketing and advertising skill sets. We are a triple threat for everyone out there because I'm coming at it from a business sense, a sales component of it. How many marketers come in and talk ROI? Not many, because it's a scary place for us marketers to go.
Right. If you don't understand it, you're just guessing.
Right. But I come from a sales point of view.
I love
it. I'm always thinking ROI for my clients.
Yes.
Because I was a sales manager for 12 years. If you can't sell something and I market the heck out of it, it doesn't matter if it doesn't sell.
Right.
Right?
Oh, that's so good stuff.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. I get to marry my whole career into what I do every day. I take those sales experiences. I take those Dale Carnegie experiences. I take those relationships with me and I grow from them still today, 20 years later. And I couldn't be more thankful for it. And I think anybody that is even toying with the idea of jumping down their rabbit hole, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I love that. People needed to hear that today. Presently, what is most exciting you right now?
What's most exciting me right now is, and it's also the thing that scares me the most. So for me, it can go either way. So I got to keep myself in the right frame of mind. It's how quickly we are growing. Like I said, you know, we opened 8-9 years ago. We merged 5 years into that. I'm now 10 employees deep, right? And that's not a very long time frame to do all that in a business mind frame. So it's been really kind of rapid growth rate. And that's a beautiful thing on paper, especially, right? My accountant's looking at me like, what are you doing over there? But it's also it's scary to keep up and do it right and do it well.
How do you maintain the excellent standard that you've done for years?
And being that face person that I pride myself on, and really spending quality time with my husband and my daughter, which is why I did
most,
this.
I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Man.
And so growth is exciting to me, but I'm going to tell you, yes, I want to grow MadCap. Yes, I want to grow my community. Yes, I want to grow my employees. But what I really want to do is I want to grow to the next level of me. And so
we're the ones that are often most neglected.
Yeah,
and we unintentionally neglect ourselves as leaders and owners and business CEOs, all that stuff, right?
You're in the grind.
Come on.
Right? You're in the grind. You're day in and day out. You're doing the payroll. You're doing the taxes. You're doing the whatever. You got to kiss babies, shake hands, which is all what I love. I also want to become a business owner. I want to buy buildings. I want to be a building owner.
I love it.
I want to be some sort of public speaker down the road.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Come on.
Right?
Keep going. I love it. What else you got?
So I want to be a public speaker. I want to own buildings. I really want to grow my staff. I have a very young staff. I really want to grow them to be able to run the company, to find out their why, like the Rounces did for me.
Gosh, have you written that down somewhere? Have you made that known to
your team? Probably not. Yes, I have made it known
to the
team. I think
that's powerful. I mean, I think part of this whole deal is being able to cast a clear and compelling vision for the future. And if your team realizes, like, man, like, Steph's not the ceiling of this thing.
No.
She wants to get out of the way and has other passions and pursuits that she wants to explore. And so that actually, as we've done that within Anthem, you know, I always picture Safeco Field in the, well, now it's T-Mobile Field, but the ceiling, you know, the roof being removed. It's like, we have to do that as business owners and leaders and then let our people know that we're doing that intentionally because we want them to rise. We want them to discover, you know, their passions and their purposes and then how they align with our companies to help them grow and scale. You know, we just crossed over the 100 employee mark.
Yeah, man.
And I'm going like, what is happening? I mean, we're cross-eyed here and you're going from 6 stores to 8. So I totally resonate with where you're at. The growth is the most exciting thing right now and the most scary.
It is.
And how do you maintain, again, all of the core values, the culture that you've built? You know, because we had a 5-year, 6-year, almost 7-year period where we just had 2 stores. Mm-hmm. And then last year, added 4. And then this year, another 2. And it's like, from the outside, people have gone, you're ridiculous. What's...
You're like, no, I'm insane and broke. But yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, that's an accurate description, 100%. But the idea is if we're growing people, and here's the truth, is our job is really to grow people, and people grow our businesses. So if I'm growing people and I don't get out of the way and give them somewhere to grow into, they ricochet out and they go elsewhere.
And I don't know, Brian, I think one of the reasons why I was honored to be in front of you today is I think you and I have very similar life viewpoints. Isn't life about growing each other in general? Screw business. Let's
1,000,000%.
I don't care if you're selling coffee, and marketing, pens. I don't care.
Exactly. And let's go full circle. Don't we need to grow ourselves so that we can grow other people? And so again,
and
with the idea—
And be the best dad and mom we 100%, can be.
And it's about figuring out the most important things in our lives and then making sure that we are leaning into those things and growing those things. Because those areas, our priorities in our lives, if we're not pursuing them by design, they deflate by default, right?
Absolutely. And so, I think for me, I have a teenage daughter— And I know she's watching and I know she's listening, even though she likes to pretend she's not listening. I want her to pursue whatever makes her happy, not what makes her money, not what makes her fame or fortune, what makes her happy, what makes her safe, what makes her healthy. And I think that I need to show by example.
I agree. I love that. You know, every day feels like day one for me. I talk a lot about day one mentality and how fortunate are we to be able to get to do what we get to do.
Absolutely. It's super.
And anytime
fortunate.
Times get tough, I'm like, that's, you know what, my worst day doing what I get to do now is better than the absolute best day I could have ever had selling TVs at Best Buy. You know what I'm saying? And not that that's, I mean, I did that. And other people
are
doing
tables.
That.
I waited tables. And to be honest with you, some days I miss waiting tables.
Some days I miss steaming milk and pouring lattes, I tell you. But how fun is it that, you know, because as we're helping grow others, we have to grow
Absolutely.
Ourselves. We can't give what we don't have. So, awesome stuff. Steph, what's next in the future? You shared a little bit. You alluded to a few things that you'd like to pursue, building ownership, Is there any other future plans that you have, even for Madcap at this moment?
Yeah, so, you know, if you ask me and Carrie, and we've talked about this with the team, is I think next steps is really dialing in Madcap around, we're very unique in the sense that we do a lot under one roof, and that's a little unique to a marketing agency. A lot of marketing agencies do have niches within that marketing agency, whether it's graphic design or web design or social media management or whatever it is. We do it all. We put it all under one roof, which is not easy, but it was strategic. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to, when we do grow our people, is we're going to say, okay, here's Madcap web services. Here's Madcap event services. Here's Madcap graphic services. And put leaders
over each of those
organizations.
Wow.
And really
under the one roof.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I think that's what's next for Madcap, is really getting really good at what we do and putting leaders in place to manage those processes and policies. And I'm telling you what, processes and policies is new to Madcap. Like when you grow,
yeah,
you grow organically and yep. You're like, I wonder if I should have an employee handbook.
We should probably document some of these things that we're doing that lead to success.
And I make my business lawyer like start to sweat bullets. Yeah. So we're starting to really, and to be honest with you, Brian, I don't want to be corporate. I that's not the right word, but I kind of take a rule book from Richard Branson of like, our company is unique in the way where I don't track vacation. If you need a day off, take a day off. If you need to go pick up your kid from school, go pick up your kid from school. I think you should. I think you need to be at the concert choir. I think you need to go
to the soccer
game. Do
you have office hours?
No. We do our work and we do it well and we do it above and
below. Are you guys hiring?
Always. Right? Always for the right person.
I love that.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we can grow and get really good at what we do and service our community and our clients and go back to that trifecta effect, which is a core value for us. And bigger, better, more, baby.
That's awesome. I love that. Win, win, win.
Yes, all win, around. Win, win, all around. If we're not winning on the trifecta effect, then we go back and reanalyze.
Yeah. Tell us how you got the name Madcap. I think I skipped right over that part. Let's go there.
That was, so a marketing firm should be able to do that lickety-split, right?
Right, right, right.
No, brutal, brutal process.
No, but it's so true. It's like, I don't even have a coffee maker in my house that I use daily. Because, you know,
I do.
It's like the cobbler's shoes, that whole deal. You know what I mean? So,
We started through, like, and to be honest, this is the process we do when we do naming for clients. We're going through a naming process for a client right now. This is the same process we took for ourselves, was who are we? Who do we want to be? And how do we want to project who we are to the outside world? We come up with some very strong, powerful words that identify who we are as a group. This was not a Carrie and Stephanie show. This was a Madcap company. Let's talk about who we are and why. Every employee.
Did you involve the employees
absolutely.
In this decision?
And interns and everyone. Absolutely. Because they've got to carry that name too. It's on their business cards too.
Involvement equals ownership. That's
absolutely.
A lesson that one of my pastors in the past instilled in me. And what a great value. And I love that you fleshed that out, that you involve the team, because they will be the ones on the front lines carrying that mission forward.
And we invited our families into the conversation also.
Wise.
Because
wise.
When the husband or the wife or the kid or whatever, and they go, what does your mom do for work? And she says, oh, you know, and she, stupidest name ever, though. I mean, I don't know. I just...
I feel you.
And it's a process. We're family. We work... How many hours do we spend at work, right? And...
A third of our lives
that
or more.
That affects our families. So our families are extended families.
Yeah.
And if you don't recognize that, then shame on you as an owner or as a... Boss, I hate that word, and my web developer loves calling me because he knows I hate that word.
The B-O-S-S word.
Oh, I hate that word. That is...
I'm with you 100%.
I'm their fearless leader on my business card.
Oh, cool.
I'm not their boss.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we involved everybody. My daughter at the time, because she was young, wanted us to be unicorn marketing. That one didn't stick, thank goodness.
You know what, though? But you gave it a flying chance.
It made the paper.
Yep.
It made the
paper. It got on the list.
Carrie thought it would be fun to design, too. Yeah, so everybody had a say, and we went through probably 8 names, and we still own 8 different URLs,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, dead serious.
Dead serious. We went out and snagged URLs and social handles as we were
vetting
all these out.
Yeah.
And when we came to Madcap, and I actually think Carrie actually is the one that brought Madcap to the door, we looked up what the definition, or if it, there was definitions around it. And you know what it is? Creative, eccentric, unique, out of the box thinking.
That word means all those things.
It does.
Unreal.
When you looked up the definition.
Spot on.
And we looked at each other and went, done. Like, we weren't moving past that. It was, we're done. That's it.
Oh, my goodness. And when you know, you know.
And then we looked, of course, to the registries to make sure it was available.
Right, yeah, you check the domains. Yeah.
And so once it just all lined up. It was bizarre how we had gone through this painstaking process for months and had all these different names, and two of which we thought maybe. And when we came to this one and really started vetting it out, we knew instantly.
The hammer dropped, yeah.
Done.
Love it. I think it's such a powerful name. And I think you given the context of the definition, is so powerful. And it really describes you guys and what you
are.
Yeah,
so out of the box marketing was where we were headed.
Oh, wow.
And we were going
to... That was kind of runner up.
We were going to acronym it, you know, like OOTO type thing or whatever. And then when you look up definition, MadCap started coming up into the... It was just bizarre how it came to fruition, but...
Man, I love it.
And
that's
powerful. We don't regret it.
Oh, I think it's
powerful. We still love it. We still love the opportunities. So if you look at our logo, there's a little dash above the M on purpose because that's blowing the top off the box.
Oh, awesome.
Out of the box thinking still kind of came with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So fun. That creative process is wonderful. Yeah. I love it. You guys have done a great job.
Designers with purpose,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you're doing it. Well, this next question I have for you as we kind of wrap up. First of all, this has been awesome.
Yeah,
hearing
thank
your story.
You.
I love it, Steph. And big fan of you and all that you guys do. Been to your events. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
And well executed. Even before I ask this last question, I wanted to touch real quick on the corporate thought that you threw out there, just to backtrack.
Yeah.
I'm with you. We struggled a lot with that idea of becoming too corporate or whatever the thing was. But what we landed on was this idea of instead of us becoming more corporate, we just wanted to instill corporate confidence in our customers in the way that we presented our style, our uniqueness. You know what I'm saying?
And isn't that funny? Because consumers do see you differently than your internal culture.
Most definitely.
I mean, we're sitting at a really cool building with Delano's Coffee Roasters right now.
Shout out Delano's.
Yeah. And they, I think, are the epitome of what we're after because they're huge. They've grown and grown and grown and grown. Family-owned business that has taken it from this to wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You walk in here and it does not feel corporate. Ask any of these.
They were just running around the hallways for an Easter egg hunt.
Doing an egg hunt.
I love that.
Yeah. So to me, you can. Do I want to be big? Who doesn't? Right. We don't go into business to be little. Absolutely, I want to be big. Do I ever want to feel corporate in my culture mentality? Absolutely not.
No, come on. No, I hear you.
I want my employees to have fun. I want them to buy in. I want them to have their families buy in. And to me, that's what corporate means. Yeah, corporate confidence. That's interesting that consumers, again, it's a marketing thing, right?
Right.
So you go back to how you look externally. And for me, genuinely, what you see is what you get. We're a little loud. We're a little obnoxious. We're a little crazy.
You're describing Anthem Coffee.
We
as well,
are,
at
right?
The same
I
time.
Mean, so
we're
that's
cut from the same cloth.
That's who we are. But that doesn't mean we can't create something that's your culture.
Yeah, exactly.
This is our culture. You own you. You do you. We'll support you in whatever that
and
is.
And if we were stamping out things that were exactly like us, I mean, it would be obnoxious and nobody would ever want it. So
Absolutely.
Being able to adapt, I mean, but we're true to who we are. Mm-hmm. You're true to MadCap. We're true to Anthem. And we're finding success in that niche, right? So, how can I help you today? Just with any business breakthrough, how can I add value? Is there something that's causing friction in the organization right now? Just this is a random opportunity, kind of out of the box, but I thought, man, it'd be really neat to just demonstrate coaching or whatever and see if there's any way that I can help if I can. And if I can't, I'll just go, can't help, and I'm out. But I'd love to open this
question. Thank you. What an honor. So sure, I'll give you an opportunity. Again, like I said, we do everything under one roof, which is unique, but that means everybody we hire is a really strategic hire because they have a very specific skill set. A web developer, a social media specialist, an event specialist, a graphic designer, right? So they all have very specific skills and niches. How do you suggest I handle the sleepless nights as the owner around what if I lose one of those skill sets? What, right? So are they replaceable? Okay, in the logical sense of the word, yes. But are they, right? Because again, we have this culture, we have this family, we have, and let's say they don't leave, let's say they don't quit, you know, God forbid one of them gets hurt, or one of them needs to or wants to take an extended leave because of family, which of course we would honor and support.
Yeah.
It is a little nerve-wracking for me to have such high-end skills in-house that I can't just pluck another awesome employee and say, fill their shoes while they're gone. That's not the world we live in.
Wow. What a great, you know, yeah, conundrum.
Yeah, right?
to present.
I have such awesome people. How would I support one of them taking an extended leave?
Immediately, my thought is there any way that you could potentially create an internship program? I mean, maybe you have that already, but
no, we don't.
You know, at Anthem, we've created one of our core values that drives everything we do is just that we value leadership development. And so we're constantly asking our leaders, we have about 20, 22 leaders now overseeing all of our stores, to constantly be working themselves out of a job. Try, you know, offload some of your stuff so that your plate gets a little less, so that I have the ability to have you go do more events out and about or do other things, right? Mm-hmm. So we're constantly trying to make sure that we have somebody being groomed, developed, coming up behind us. You bring in interns, like you said, you're hiring specific skilled positions. It's tough to just go, okay, or whatever. But if you had a 90-day internship program where they come in, they get to be around the culture, and every single one of your players has the responsibility of taking on an intern, developing them, growing them. Even if that internship stops after 90 days, maybe within those 90 days, that person actually goes somewhere else, or you have to, you know, you lose them, whatever might happen, that person could fill their role. So if that was the rhythm, I don't know. That could be a thought to begin to implement, specifically maybe only in your one or two major areas that you're like, man, if I lost this, we would be lost for a while.
Right.
It would be a heavy deal. And maybe even, again, just proactively, you have your team begin to think of a succession plan.
Right.
Maybe that's the deal. It's like, look.
And they're young, but they're young, right? So I hope that they're hungry.
And same here.
And I hope they're hungry at MadCat, but who's to say that that's their future?
We always, as well, Steph, we hold every single employee, from the brand newest one to the one who's been with us the longest, with open hands.
Absolutely.
If I'm in a position as a leader or an owner that has a grip, think, you know, put both your hands in a fist and you're like holding, please don't ever leave. Like if I put that pressure on somebody, it's not good for them and it's not a great position for me to be in.
No.
So knowing that, like, I hold everybody with open hands, I acknowledge out of the get-go that, look, I realize you might not be in the coffee industry forever, but while you're here, I plan on, no matter what, investing in you, growing you, much like you got to be on the receiving end of at Milgard. And while you're with us, you will be a better version of you. You will be serving our clients better each and every day.
And they'll be an ally for life, right?
Exactly.
So my very
they'll
first
always look
hire,
back on this experience.
Absolutely. My very first hire, she was fantastic. And she came to me one day and she was sad and she felt guilt, I think. And she said, I got a great job offer from Weyerhaeuser and I think I'm going to take it. And I said, you should. Because she was so intrigued by what they could offer her and she didn't know any different. I was her first job out of college and she thought this big wow company in the Pacific Northwest wanted her. And my exact words was, you should take it because you're never going to know until you try.
That's good. And you know what's awesome? You
and
got to help develop her.
We're great friends today.
It's perfect.
And she refers business to us all the time.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, man, I would almost have you involve your team in that conversation. Say, look, this is one of the little things that's keeping me up at night.
Yeah.
And invite the conversation.
Great idea.
Have them begin to work on that. I think you'll experience some success there.
Love
so.
It. Thank you, Brian.
Steph, this has been a blast.
Always fun.
Thank
when we're
you together. For your time. Thank you for the insights. I think people are going to be blessed by this conversation. And so, yeah,
I hope
until
so.
We meet again, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get your other half, Carrie, in here. And hear
Absolutely.
How the stories line up from her side of the perspective at some
that.
Point. That'd be
I
fun.
I would love that, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, love. Thanks.